Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In today's episode, that's not what's going to happen. See, since the beginning of this podcast, several of you in the Divi Nation have asked to interview me and hear my story. Most recently, that request was made by Josh Hall, who contributes to our blog, has been a past guest on the show, and who admins one of the popular Divi Facebook groups. And I said yes. So, here it is, the Divi Nation interview of me.
Nathan, thanks for taking the time to be here, man, and letting myself and on behalf of Divi Nation turn the tables here and get a chance to ask you some questions. Appreciate you being here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's very fun to be on the other side of the conversation for a change. A lot less pressure.
Right. Yeah, I'm feeling the pressure you have here, man. So what's new with you, man? What's new in the life of Nathan B. Weller?
Not a lot. Just doing the new year of content planning still. I mean, it's kind of come together about every year towards the end of December, beginning of January, I go from sort of execution mode into, you know, content strategy and planning mode. And things are really starting to come along in that area. We're getting some good metrics this year. And some of the moves that we made at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, are starting to pay off, and we're seeing some positive results. So majority of my time lately has just been making sure that our new publishing schedule of publishing twice a day is going well and staying on track.
Okay. Awesome. And then by the time this comes out, you may have already have spoken, but you're speaking at WordPress or WordCamp San Diego here soon, right?
Yeah. And that's going to be really fun. I'm actually planning on, since we're recording this on Monday, I'd like to have this scheduled to go out on Friday. So that'll be the day before I speak at WordCamp San Diego.
Okay. Awesome. And on a personal note, you've been married for what? Almost 6 months now, right?
Yeah. It's treating me good.
Pretty quick.
I enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, Nathan, I just want to say thank you to the work that you've done so far with Elegant Themes as a content manager. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Divi Nation is truly the most empowered online community there is. And it's been incredible for me to surround myself with a lot of the good people of Divi Nation and with the Facebook groups, and the engagement has been awesome. It's benefited me tremendously. And I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the entire, you know, Divi online community to just say thank you for the work that you've done, because it means a lot. It makes a difference in a lot of our lives.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I gotta say that, you know, I have a pretty unique position where I get to be the mouthpiece to just an amazing company. I mean, a lot of the stuff you're talking about, how all the benefit that the community gets, that's because of the incredibly hard work that our whole team does behind the scenes. I mean, on the content team alone, we've got 2 full-time staffers now. They're working all the time, really hard, and they don't get a chance to talk directly to the community all that much. But they're a huge part of that. We have a massive freelancer staff, which, thank you, for contributing to our blog as often as you do. That's a huge help. And so really what we found is that between the company, like the people in the company and the people in the community, who are all kind of getting that, you know, if we give to you and you guys give back to the community, we create this feedback loop where, you know, things just get awesome. Things get really, really good for everybody. You know, like the Divi grows as a community. The company grows and we're able to feed more resources back in the community. And it just kind of keeps going like that. And it's been fun to watch. And so I thank you, but I would also like to thank, you know, the people who are doing a lot of the work that I get to kind of put the final stamp on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's just so cool that, you know, Elegant Themes has made a product that has made a fan out of its users for a couple of years now. I mean, I love Divi. It has changed my life, and I'm sure I'm speaking for, you know, thousands of people around the world who feel the same way. So,
I count myself as part of that group, you know, and it's so cool every day to be like, okay, I get to get online and interact with people who They're just all on board for what we're trying to do. It makes work really fun.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, so you like to start out by asking, you know, what a typical day looks like, just because it's different for everybody. So I want to kind of turn the tables and ask you, man, what's your daily routine look like?
Daily routine. Get up, make a big pot of coffee. And when I sit down at my computer, I typically go over a few things. So I open up a bunch of tabs and I have I go over our blog comments that came in overnight. And then I start emailing our writers from the day before, and I send them some editorial notes after looking over our analytics. And then I jump into sharing our posts on social media. And then eventually I get into the daily tasks that I've planned for the day. I have a rough skeleton of tasks that I have recurring in my to-do app, Asana, and I just do those every single day. But then in between those, I schedule other things. And so I kind of just jump from, there's a batch of things I do every single morning, and then I get into the sort of like whatever that day has that's unique, I jump into that next. So.
Are you an early morning guy then? I think I remember you saying that at some point.
Yeah, I like to be. I like to be for sure. Sometimes it doesn't always work out. You'll get in a weird, you know, rhythm where you've been up late or whatever. But if I have like the ideal schedule, it's pretty early, you know, getting up at six or so. Maybe that's not early to some people. It's early to me.
That's early, man. Well, awesome, man. That's great. So what's your WordPress story? How did you get, you've talked to me a little bit about that, you know, when we had coffee last year, but maybe tell the community, you know, how you got involved in WordPress and maybe how that segued into your work with Elegant Themes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was working, about 2008 and 2009. I was working at a startup here in Columbus, and, I was heavily into just blogging as a hobby. I had been since high school, and I had a whole bunch of these little blogs that I didn't really take too seriously, but I just loved the act of doing it. And it came up at work that they wanted to start a work blog. And so we, you know, I was tasked with researching what was the best platform for starting a blog for your company. And we chose WordPress. And that was kind of my first foray into really having to learn what self-hosted WordPress is, how to use it. And that blog didn't go anywhere. We barely did anything with it. But it kind of started me thinking. I really enjoyed it. And so when I was, that company, like I said, it was a startup, and they were just changing all the time, and they were getting ready to make a change that I didn't really want to stay on for. So I decided to jump ship. I didn't really have anything else lined up. So I decided, what if I do this blogging thing like for real? I know that there's people that do that. And so I started, since I just started learning about WordPress, I noticed that there were like, I don't know, a few websites that were blogging about WordPress, and they seemed to be like hiring folks. And so I emailed the editors, and a guy that started writing for Elegant Themes around the same time that I did back in 2014, he actually owned this blog. It was called WP Mods, and that was my first like professional or paid blogging gig. I had done some other stuff for like design blogs, but it was all like guest posting. And so he was the guy who kind of got me started in like basically the road that I've traveled to today, where you look at WordPress, you find an element of it that you want to learn, you learn it, you figure it out, and then you kind of deconstruct that process and teach other people how to do it. And that was like what I was hired to do. I did one or two articles a week for him. And honestly, it just progressed from there. As I learned more, I was able to do more complex and more detailed tutorials. And as I learned more about the craft of blogging itself, I was able to take on more responsibility. After a few years, I switched from doing article work to a combination of like editorial and consulting work and blogging work, and then eventually coming on full time with Elegant Themes as the editor and now the content manager.
Very cool. So you said you were doing some work with Elegant Themes beforehand. How did that come about? Did you just start doing some freelance work for them on the blog, or how did the initial, you know, meeting?
It was kind of funny.
How that worked.
Yeah, it's a little ironic because I was actually getting ready to like quit the WordPress blogging biz. it was like 2014. I'd been blogging about WordPress on a near daily basis since like I said, like 2009. And I was just kind of like burnt out. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to pivot from content creation to content consulting, like strategy. And so I was just going to like bill my time hourly to larger companies who needed to develop good content strategy. And Nick emailed me kind of out of the blue because he had saw some of my posts on other blogs and was like, hey, would you be willing to write for Elegant Themes? And I was kind of like, maybe. And I was like, I'd probably do one a week. And he kept like, you know, up in the ante over time. He'd email me, be like, how about two this week? Or how about three? You know, like, can you give me five extra over the next couple, like 3 weeks? I'd be like, oh my gosh. So before I knew it, I was writing just a ton of articles for Elegant Themes. And I enjoyed it though, because one thing I've said over and over again is that the Elegant Themes community is so, it's an anomaly. It's really special. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get to meet folks like this in other parts of the web. There's never been a blog I wrote for before where you try to engage the community and there's just an overwhelming positive response. I mean, yeah, of course, agreed. You have a few people who are like maybe overly critical or whatever, but even those people are huge fans of the blog, and given a, you know, a conversation, they end up, you know, just being, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, love what you guys are doing. So I was just really impressed by that. And so the more I was asked to get involved, the more I got involved and the more I enjoyed it, until we finally got to the point after a year or year and a half or so of freelancing, Nick asked me if I wanted to come on board. And I thought that was a good idea.
Oh, that's awesome, man. It's a cool story to hear how that segued in for you. And like I said, I mean, you've done an incredible job. And so what I figured we could do at this point here is kind of dive into some of the questions that I had. And then I put a couple questions out on social media and the Facebook groups to get some feedback from the community.
Yeah.
And so really your story and where you're at now kind of leads me to my first question, which is something that I wanted to ask. Olga Summerhays, part of my Divi Facebook web designers group, and Eileen from Elegant Themes Marketplace, among others, wants to know, how the heck do you manage so much content, so many ideas, scheduling? I mean, you're doing two different blogs for the Elegant Theme. You're overseeing, sure, you know, two different blogs in the Elegant Themes with the WordPress stuff and then the Divi related stuff.
Yeah.
Every day, that's 730 posts a year. That stresses me out just thinking about it. So how do you do it, man? What's that look like for you?
I mean, I think there was a time at the very beginning where, particularly during Divi 100, where I took on a lot of personal responsibility for every single item. And I just was, you know, I was working around the clock. So the short answer was, at the beginning, I was doing it by nearly killing myself. I was working like around the clock. I was not, you know, taking care of myself. But then over time though, it's really been a growing experience for me. I took processes that I'd used on a small scale and I sort of started to scale them up to running a larger pool of freelancers. And right now I would say that if your goal is to have a high volume blog, your number one priority as an editor or as a blog owner, whatever you want to call yourself, if you're managing all of that, your number one goal should be processes and documentation. What I've learned is if I can empower the people under me, there's much, much less that I have to touch and get into the nitty gritty of. Because honestly, at this point, at the scale that we're getting to, if I have to get involved in the nitty gritty detail of every blog post, we will get behind right away, like really, really quickly.
Right. I always wondered about that. Yeah.
So what I try to do is make sure that our expectations of our writers and our expectations of anybody collaborating with us, they're really clear. So we have, we have continued to update what we call our blog author handbook. And that's just a detailed, you've read it, it's a detailed description of how our content should be formatted, our philosophy of content. And I've created the exact same thing. And it's still in progress, actually, but I've created this exact same thing, but for our video content for Mac to work off of. And then we have another really essential document, which is a spreadsheet. And one is general WordPress ideas and one is Divi specific ideas. And we use those two spreadsheets to keep track of what we've written before. Everybody who contributes to the blog has access to those. There's sections for them to submit new ideas. We have it formatted so that I can approve those ideas and move them into an approved section. And so everybody more or less always knows what it is that they should be working on, and it's their responsibility to get it to us when it's due. And that in and of itself has been kind of interesting. So like one of the things I do every Monday and every Friday is I have a checklist of everybody who's contributing to us right now. And so right now that's actually getting close to like 30 people. It's like 28 right now.
Wow.
And so I have a, did they hit their deadline checkbox? And so I look at, you know, our, the back end of our blog, Google Docs, wherever people are submitting. And I start just go down name by name and say, you know, did they hit their deadline for the week? And if they didn't, then I email them and I say, hey, I haven't got an update from you, and just try to chase people down. A little bit of cat.
Yeah. And so, right. So I know there's no, you know, right or wrong tool. So you're using Google Docs for the author handbook, for the spreadsheets that you manage and that we as writers can contribute to. Anything else that you're using as far as, you know, tools that help out your scheduling, you know, writing and things like that. And, you know, as you review all the posts.
I mean, I suppose if like, short answer, no, not really. I mean, we use Slack and email and Google Docs, to kind of track everything. And then, but I suppose if like in an ideal world with like a lot of custom software involved, we would have some sophisticated, you know, editorial backend where there's notes and tracking and content creation and all this stuff built into one dashboard. But we don't have that set up. I've never worked for anybody with that kind of setup. And so typically, what I've found is that, you know, a blog is as organized as, you know, the editor. And so you just have to find a system that works for you and make sure that you're doing it.
Well, and it's funny because you actually inspired me to start using Google Docs more with what I saw with the author handbook and stuff, because typically I would just email that. And I know I talked a lot about in my last client documentation series on blog about automating your process. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do multiple times, automate it, whether it's in the email. Sarah Oates talked about that in her episode where, you know, automating emails, automating your process. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, for you, you just sent me a link. We didn't have to do a half an hour phone call or meeting. Yep. You just sent me the link. I felt like I understood the mission and what it was all about, and we're off and running. So
yeah. And I guess that's a good like a filter that I use, you know, like when we're talking to people to hire them on or just to have them contribute to the blog, you know, it's kind of a test, you know, like I send people this information, and if they turn in an article that is all over the place, it doesn't follow our guidelines, and it's clear that they didn't read that stuff, then we're not going to have them contribute to the blog, because what that means is that every step of the way, I'm going to have to be holding that person's hand to make sure that they read what they said they were going to read, to do what they obviously didn't do, you know? So really that is a huge, you know, a huge, thing that you need to take into account, I guess, if you're trying to start a high volume blog, is, you know, whoever you bring on, they have to be really self-sustaining and self-starting, because if they can't be trusted to manage their own, to take ownership of the things that they've been assigned, it's not going to work. So.
Right. Well, and that's kind of a gift and a curse, I think, is, you know, you're not hand holding everybody in every little step of the way. Yeah. Like with me, you gave me the link, and it was kind of, like you said, kind of like a trial, you know, you gave me a test post, and, you know, well, and I think that is good for everyone in Divination, especially as freelance web developers. There's going to be very little direction in a step-by-step basis on projects. You got to be self-sufficient and be self-motivated and just be able to get it and go, basically. So
yeah, and as things have gotten more complex, like, so there's still some things that I'm trying to iron out. So like on the Divi side of things, you know, the concepts for the different posts, as they've gotten more complex, we've had to have more than one person collaborate on a single post. And that's a process that we're still, I think, struggling to do with people who are not working together on a regular basis, who are remote from each other and from me. And so I'm trying to iron out what's the process for if one person wants to develop, like they're like, hey, I have this trick, but I'm not a writer. I have this design that I want to share, but I'm not a writer. So how can they send us, you know, files? We give that to a writer. The writer writes it. The editor checks it. And then it becomes a post. Like, that's
okay.
The more complicated it gets, the harder. And so I've tried to really simplify it. And I was hoping that we could do more assembly line type stuff like that, but it really breaks down pretty quickly. So what I learned was that it's better to find that as many of those like kind of unicorn people as you can, people who are maybe not like the highest level of in every category. Like they may not be like the best designer, the best developer, or the best writer, but if they're competent enough in each section to tackle mm-hmm. a problem and explain it, then that's who you want to hire, you know, and that's who I've been trying to focus on lately.
Awesome. Awesome, man. So one question I wanted to pose to you was regarding the 100 days of Divi.
Sure.
Can you just speak real quickly as to how that came about and how that helped Elegant Themes grow? Because I'm always late to the party, and that's kind of when I got involved in Divi Nation and Elegant Themes. I kind of saw that, and I didn't even realize there were Facebook groups for Divi until around this time last year. And so I kind of saw the 100 series just. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed like from when I saw it, you know, last year at this point to now, it's just completely, you know, blown up. So how did that start, and that kind of helped the company grow?
Well, I got to give props to Andy Tran. We were in a general marketing or company brainstorm meeting on, you know, what can we do to promote Divi 3.0? And it was at the beginning of 2016. And Andy was like, what if we did 100 days in a row of Divi tutorials? And everybody was like, whoa, that'd be kind of cool. And, you know, I had just finished, what's funny is I just finished doing an analysis of our blog history through like analytics and stuff like that, really going back into the data all the way back to 2008. So I had just studied from 2015 to 2008, and I loved the idea, but I was worried that, if we stopped everything to do 100 days of Divi related content, that we might be shooting ourselves in the foot long term, because a lot of our new customers come looking for general WordPress tips. Then they discover, you know, our themes, and then they join. So that's like a pretty established, you know, path that we had. And I was worried that if we spent a third of a year, kind of neglecting bringing in new customers and focusing solely on our community, we would see a long-term impact from that. But then we had a few months before the actual kickoff of Divi 100 for me to wrap my head around it. And the longer I looked at it, the happier I was with it, because I noticed that when we charge up our user base, our community with resources, that they actually bring people in. And that's actually been one of the biggest lessons that I've learned. You know, everybody always tells you write for, you know, a specific audience. And we'd been doing that. We'd been writing for WordPress users. But then when we focus to writing primarily for just our customers, not even like our new customers, but like our customers, or our potential customers, just our existing people, that was when things really got interesting. We found that, you know, by empowering you guys, by empowering the people who are using our products, they got so excited that they actually brought new people in for us. And so that's been one of the coolest lessons, is that, you know, if you're ever doubting, should I write for that person that I want to attract, or should I write for the people that I already have attracted? Always write for the person you're already attracting, because that person wants to be there. They're enjoying what you've done already. They're excited for more. And if you make their life even better, they're going to do the marketing for you. So that was really cool.
Yeah. And that kind of played out in my life last year in the summer. A friend of mine who designs a website, I told him about Divi, and I was like, you ever played around with it? Have you ever heard of it? And he's like, no, I'm still going to Theme Forest and looking at different themes. I'm like, dude, you've got to try Divi. Check it out. Let me know if you have any questions. He liked it at first. He didn't love it, but then he found the Divi 100 series. And once like that turned him into an immediate fan, he loved it, you know, right after that. And now he runs his business exclusively off of Divi. All of his sites are Divi. So, you know, that kind of played out in my life too, to see that how, you know, that series really did make a fan out of, I don't know how many thousands of people. I mean, I don't know if you can share numbers, but can you just, I don't know, you can talk about percentages, but did that really help the growth of the blog and the business?
It really did. I mean, I know I did a sort of post-op the last, I think day 99, if you want to look at the numbers, I think day 99 of Divi 100 series, has the specifics in it. I think I did a breakdown, but we went from, I think, an average of like 1.2 1.3 or 1.4 million visitors a month to 1.8 million visitors a month during the Divi 100 series. It was a massive jump, awesome. One of our biggest periods of growth. And just recently, I did the numbers for this year so far. And so basically, you know, since the end of last year, we've been doing like a never-ending Divi 100 by having a Divi post every single day. And we've seen massive growth. 2016 was one of our best years ever, but at the beginning of the year, we weren't publishing a Divi post every day. This year, we are publishing a Divi post every day, and we've nearly doubled our daily traffic from the year before, which is, you know, typically you might have like a depending on how good your site is, you might have like a 5% year over year increase. Really good is like a 20. We did almost 100% increase.
Wow.
So it was like, it's just been really cool to see that, you know, to see that philosophy sort of bear fruit, to say like, you know, we're committing to empowering our community and we're going to focus on them and let them worry about, you know, bringing more people in through their clients and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, that kind of segues to a question that Michael Salem from my Divi Web Designers group had, and he wants to know maybe how has Elegant Themes changed since you've been there? It sounds like, you know, they've really embraced the community and kind of let us run with what we've learned. Is that something you'd say?
Yeah, I think that was a mentality beforehand. I mean, I'll tell you this. When I first started freelancing back in 2014, there was a line in the blog author handbook that Nick wrote, and it said, we're all about community. We always have been. We always will be. And he's like, that's what our company's built on, is our community. That's what we're here to do, is to work for them. But here's the thing, is like, they didn't have anybody full time on staff whose only job it was to engage with the community and to make sure that that message was getting out there and that we were creating things for them. And so I would say the main difference is that, since I came on, is that the values that have always been behind the scenes in Elegant Themes and have always been something that we tried to do, we've just had someone on it full time. And now we have Mac, and now we have Jason Champagne. He came on board recently. So we have two full-time staffers working with me on just empowering the community. And so when I think of our content team, that's really what I think of, is like, yes, we're creating content, but the only reason we're creating content is because that we want to help the people who are using our products day in and day out do new things, learn more, become better designers. So it's really all about empowerment.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome, man. So do you know, we had quite a few people ask, I know Sean from the Divi Theme Users group wants to know, and I think a lot of people want to know, you know, with the growth that Elegant Themes has seen, what are you guys doing now, you know, looking forward marketing wise to, sure, to kind of stand out from the competition and continue what you're doing?
Well, there's stuff that we've done already that we'd like to make more of a regular thing. You've done some live broadcasts, and I think it would be cool if we could get to a point where we not only have two blog posts every day, one of them also having a video component to it. Once we get that down to where that's not a problem for us to do every day, the next stage would be adding in more like live video stuff, like doing live workshops every week and things like that on Facebook and YouTube.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, so we've had, I have to address this just because we have had, okay, several questions come in through Facebook. I don't know how much you can speak to this. I know, you know, we're going to talk more about content and marketing as opposed to, you know, Elegant Themes,
sure,
specific things. But do you know anything about the Divi documentation for 3.0? Do you,
yeah,
know if that's
so fun or? That's been something that has been kind of on the to-do list for a long time. It's something we wanted to tackle all the way back in probably November of this last year. And the only reason it hasn't happened yet is because we've just had, you know, we had to switch from during the Divi 100, basically having our entire staff of developers, designers, and me and Mac working on Divi 100, to basically just me and Mac working on making sure that there was a Divi blog post out every day. And so my task was to then recruit more people like yourself from the community to contribute on a regular basis. And so now we're finally in a place where we're scheduling posts out farther into the future and creating some space for myself to go back and start creating the detailed documentation, just like I did for Extra. And so I think in the near future, we might actually do it in two steps. We might do sort of a rough cut and then do a really polished version of the documentation, a month or so later.
Okay.
But we're getting it out the door as soon as possible is the short answer. And then
I was just going to ask if you had a deadline or, a projected time and you want to,
I don't want to commit to a specific deadline, but I can promise you that it is top of our list. We're not doing it because we're just not thinking about it. It's something we really want to get done.
Awesome. Well, I know I'll appreciate that. A lot of the community will, and I'm sure my clients who are confused about the visual builder will appreciate that too. So
yeah,
it's good to know. So Andrew Palmer with the Elegant Themes Marketplace and Divi Theme Users Group had a really interesting question I wanted to pose to you. And he wants to know, one, kind of how much content is too much, if there is too much content. And then, with you running social media with all the different avenues there, plus the blog and the podcast, is all that measurable? The social media, is that measurable to overall sales for Elegant Themes?
So let me take the too much content one first. Yeah, absolutely. There's too much content. If you get to a point where you're not getting returns on your content, that's too much. And if you're getting to a point where creating content is taking so much time away from everything else that you're not able to do your core business, then you need to scale back. Really, the only time you want to do content is if you have some type of a measurable, impact from it. So I have this talk I gave at a WordCamp last year on the different types of ROI that you get from content. And so I think it's a mistake to think that every time you publish a post, you should be seeing some type of a direct monetary result from that return on investment. But there are measurable returns on investment. I think capturing emails is a great measurable return on that investment. So I think you can get a monetary return a few steps removed from your content. So for instance, you can say, well, I know in a given email campaign that I have this conversion rate, right? So I get X amount of purchases off of my email list. And I know that in a given week or month, I capture so many emails through my blog. And so, I would monitor how many emails you're capturing, maybe per post or per week or per month, however you want to split it up, and then compare that to your email list. And is the conversion, the number of conversions from your email list worth the blog, the blog post? And there are a number of different ways that you can do that. It doesn't have to be email. It could be other things. But, we know, for instance, that every blog post that we publish in a roundabout way results in so many purchases. And so that's something that we figured out, but it can take a while to do that.
Gotcha. And so the same for social media, you would say, as far as, Facebook and Twitter and everything. I know it's probably a little bit different with the engagement there, but
I mean, I think with Facebook and Twitter, there's analytics in those built into those platforms, and you can also hook it up to Google Analytics and run different campaigns. And I would just say don't do anything because there's an expectation that you should be doing it. If you don't know how to use a platform, or you've never used a platform, or it's not natural to you, I'm not saying you shouldn't learn it, but you shouldn't just do it because somebody else is on it and you think that you should too. Everything you do, I think you should approach it systematically. You should first learn it systematically, approach it with a strategy in mind, execute that strategy, and then measure the results. And if you're not getting results, don't just do it because it's expected,
Gotcha. Yeah, that's good advice, man. So I know we're getting, a little long on time here. So I guess I just want to pose one last question.
I like to talk too much.
No, this is good, man. I could talk for hours about this. And like I said, I know the community's excited to finally hear from you. I guess kind of the last big question I have for you stemmed from Dominic from my Divi Web Designers group. He wants to know, and maybe you can talk about, you know, any entrepreneurial advice or advice that you would have to aspiring bloggers and content sure. folks who are, you know, wanting to take, you know, I mean, we talk a lot about not necessarily, we talk about just building a life that we can be, have freedom. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's not that we're all trying to get rich, but we all want to be able to provide for our families. And we're all trying to live a good life, you know, for ourselves and for our family and doing that with web design and with blogging and things like that. So what kind of advice do you have for somebody who's wanting to do, you know, a similar job as yourself, Nathan?
Sure. Well, if you don't mind, I mean, I think it's kind of rare for someone to find themselves in a position where they have my exact job. Like, I don't think there's a lot of my job out there. So I'd like to, I guess, maybe focus this answer on people who just want to have an effective content strategy for their company. Or for their blog, if they're starting a blog, which is much more common. So I pulled up the outline for my talk this coming weekend, and I'll give you guys the seven main points. So it's my talk is called The Seven Keys to an Effective Content Strategy. And the first key is identifying your brand values. So your brand values are often your personal values and company form or like lived out through your company. And I think it's really, really important to find out what are these things that you find most important and what are the things that you value? For example, at Elegant Themes, we value elegant design, community, and empowerment. So in everything that we do, if we kind of bounce it off of those ideas and it doesn't match up, then we don't do it. So like when it comes to our blog and our product and everything, everything's geared towards an elegant design. Is it good for our community? Is it empowering? And so that becomes your first major filter or constraints, if you will, for your strategy. And then the next key is determining what type of return on investment you're going to value and coming up with a way to measure it. Like I said before, there are a couple different ones out there. If it's content, you may not want to go direct sales. You may want to go, you may want to say traffic. You may want to say emails. You may want to say comments and engagement.
Engagement, yeah.
So just figure out what that key metric or return on your investment for content is and have a way set up to measure it. The third one is positioning. Take a look at everybody who you are essentially competing head to head with and make sure that you have a strategy in place or an approach to content and to your product that is different from theirs, but still valuable. I guess in marketing terms, people call it, you know, the key differentiator. It's whatever makes you uniquely valuable within your competition, having that written down and really using that to guide the way that you create content. Then your fourth is content planning itself, making sure that you have a system in place, like what we do with our documents that I went over earlier, making sure you have processes and expectations that are easily understandable and something that people can execute over and over and over again. The fifth key is production. It's kind of hand in hand with your content planning. Make sure that there's a good plan in place or a good procedure in place for creating your content and getting it out the door. A lot of stuff can get stalled. Like you have all these grand ideas and then you start creating it and you're like, oh, well, there's a black hole of, you know, whatever over here. And you just get sucked into that. So avoid that by having a set procedure. And then the sixth key is have a publishing and promotion plan. A lot of people don't succeed because they put all this time and energy into getting to the moment where they hit publish. The post goes live and they sit back and they're like so relieved that they finally got it out into the world. And then they wait and they wait and they wait and nothing happens. No one cares. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you don't stop at publish, that you have a plan for getting your posts read and seen by people.
That's good.
And then the seventh key is analysis. So you want to make sure that every single thing that you do, there is a metric that you've assigned to it that determines whether or not that thing is successful. And that metric might change over time, but the important thing is that you have one and that you're keeping an eye on it. And that if you're not hitting that metric, you're coming up, you're trying to determine why that is, and you're making changes that are designed to get you to where you want to be. And that's what's going to keep the momentum going, is making sure that you have goals. And metrics are a great way to create goals, is, you know, you hit a certain plateau. Like for us, you know, for the longest time, we were like, we want to get to 1 million visitors a month. And then we got mm-hmm. there and we're like, we want to get to, you know, 1.5 and then 2. And then, you know, we keep growing. And awesome. So it's good to have those metrics in place and know exactly what you're shooting for at all times. And so, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, that's incredible. That's some solid advice there. I can't wait to hear the talk. Do you know if that talk's going to be recorded and be on video?
It's supposed to be. So I hope that it is. I was promised that at a past WordCamp, and even though it was recorded, it wasn't ever released. So I think what I'm going to do is take my portable audio recorder and make sure that I get at the very least an MP3. And so if they don't release it after a while, we'll release an MP3 for everybody to listen to. So.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, Nathan, thank you again for taking the time to do this, man. I really appreciate it. I know, you know, I it's been tremendous for me, what you've done for me, you know, letting me be a part of the community and to contribute to the Elegant Themes blog. It's done a lot for my personal brand, and it's really given me a lot of fulfillment and kind of re-energized my passion for not only just web design in general, but now being able to actually help fellow aspiring web designers and engage with the community. So it's been awesome. And I appreciate you taking the time and accepting this. I know I looked at the growth of the company. I'm like, man, how does Nathan manage 730 blog posts a year? So I know, I'm sure a lot of the community was curious to hear from you. So thanks for taking the time to do this, man.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your passion and your willingness to jump in. This was really fun. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions about my story or the topics that Josh and I went over in today's episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and I will be sure to respond. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community. And as always, I'll be back here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.